All right. Well, welcome to Hoboken Grace. For those of you who are with us for the first time, my name is Chris, and I'm the teaching pastor here at Hoboken Grace. Right now, we're in the middle of this conversation called purpose. And in this world that is constantly moving, we're asking this question, what on earth am I here for? And that is our reality, right? I mean, we're living in a world that is constantly moving. It doesn't matter whether you try to stop it or not. I'm not just talking about this figuratively. I'm also talking about this literally. I mean, we live in a world where everything is literally constantly moving. You've actually never encountered anything in your life physically, never experienced anything in your life physically that is not moving. And not only is it external, but actually internally, everything about us is moving. The moment you stop moving, you'll no longer be with us. We live in this constant, constant state of motion. And it's interesting because this is not only our reality, but God, as he designs us and as he creates us in such a way that every living thing is moving. Every living thing is, the way that we talk about it, is this idea of growth, that we're growing. And so in our lives and in the lives that we live, we're constantly going somewhere. We're constantly becoming something. And so as we look at this idea of purpose, the question that we're asking is, okay, what are we becoming? And what on earth am I here for? All of us are becoming something. So what am I becoming? And as we began this conversation, I talked to you about the fact that all of us have purpose. All of us have something that determines the decisions that we're making. All of us are living for something. And I told you that it depends on who your God is or what it is that you worship. And so if you worship love, you believe that love is going to satisfy you. You believe that love is going to bring you the desires of your heart. Then your purpose becomes to find that right person, to find the one. And so you make the decisions that you make based upon finding that one. And it's interesting because it not only does that God determine the purpose, but then that purpose determines what I'm going to talk about today, which is this idea of image, which is what I'm trying to become. And so your God will determine your purpose. Your purpose will determine the image that you are trying to become. And so if this God that you worship is love, then your purpose becomes to find this relationship. And the image is what you believe that you need to be or become in order to be able to find the one. The same thing is true if you take it out of the idea of love and you put it into this idea of success. And so for some of us, our God is success. We worship success and we believe, man, if I could just be successful enough, then I would be satisfied. If I could be successful enough, I would be secure. If I could be successful enough, I would find peace. And so this is our God. Our God determines our purpose. So we live our lives. We give everything that we have. We make the decisions that we make based upon, okay, is this going to help me be successful? And as part of that, we create an image that we're trying to become. And we realize, okay, this is who I need to be, or this is what I need to be like if I'm going to be successful. And so as we're moving, as we're living in this constant state of motion, as we're looking at, okay, what am I going to become? We have a very clear picture, and for some of us it's clearer than for others, of what we want to be. Of how we want our lives to look so that we can live out our purpose and find this thing that we worship. Now, for some of you, you know exactly what that is because you've got a very clear picture in your mind of what you are trying to become. For others of you, you may not have really thought through this before, but I would almost guarantee you that you have some type of image that you are trying to become. And it may not have to do with love or success or power. It may just have to do with comfort But all of us are trying to become something. The question is, what are you trying to become? And for some of us, I mean, if we were to sit down, you could really paint the picture for me. I mean, you know exactly what it looks like. Maybe it's something, for a lot of us, it has to do with people that we've encountered in our past. And so we've seen people who are successful. And so we're building our lives in order to be able to live and work and operate the way that they live and work and operate. Or maybe we've seen someone who has found love. And so we're living to be able to live and work and operate the way that they do. Because they've become this image for us, or maybe we kind of take a little bit from this person and this person and this person over here, and we put them all together and we kind of form this image of what we think we need to become in order to live out our purpose, in order to find the thing that we worship. All of us have it. As a matter of fact, as John mentioned earlier, this week was obviously a really interesting week with the passing of Steve Jobs. For those of you who know me personally, it was a tough week for me. Seriously. Like, I teared up. I'm still trying to figure out what that means about me, but I did. And I love technology. And beyond that, I love the way that Steve Jobs led his company. And for thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people, when they talk about this idea of image, when we talk about what are you trying to become, for literally thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people, they have studied the life of this man so that they can become like him, so that they can achieve what he's achieved, so that they can find what unfortunately he didn't find. One of the things that devastated me in reading about what happened with him and his last days is that, as many of you know, he's in the process, or was in the process at the end of his life, of writing an autobiography. And he's writing out everything that had happened in his life. And a couple weeks before he passed, the author who was working with him to write this autobiography came to visit him, and they both realized that it was probably the last time that they were going to talk. They both realized that the end was just about here. And the author said, I had to ask him the question that had been on my mind since the very beginning. This thing had just been bothering me, and I knew it might upset him, but I had to ask the question. And so he walks in. And he says, Steve, listen, your entire life you have been so private. Your entire life. I mean, people knew very little of what happened in his private life. And then all of a sudden, he's writing this book that tells everything. And so the author comes in and says, you've been so private. Why in the world are you writing this book? I mean, why now are you opening up and sharing all of this? And he looked at the writer and he said, because I want my kids to know me. I wasn't always there for them. And I want to make sure that they know me. See, the truth is, he didn't really find it. But there are hundreds of thousands of people who are studying the way he lived and who will scour through that book because they think, if I can become like that, I can live out this purpose of being successful and powerful, and I will find what I'm looking for. Even though the truth is, he didn't. All of us have an image. All of us have something that we are trying to become. My question to you today is, what is yours? What is it that you're worshiping? What is it that you believe about this idea of purpose? And how is it influencing this image? when you look at the life that you live, when you look at the clothes that you wear, when you look at the apartment that you have, why? What are you trying to become? When you look at who you date and you look at who you're married to, when you look at these decisions that you're making in your life about who you are becoming, why? And I realize for some of you, this may be the first time that you're really struggling through this, but I think it's crucial. Because you can't just keep becoming something without actually thinking about it and planning out what you will become. Your God will shape your purpose. Your purpose will shape this image. And this image is what you will become. The same thing is true if you're going to follow the God of Abraham, if you're going to follow the God that we find inside this book, if you're going to follow this God that we talk about and worship here at Hoboken Grace. The same thing is true if you're going to be in this place where you're pursuing him. And we've been talking for the last couple of weeks about how if he becomes your God, if you believe that he is the one who's going to satisfy you, if you believe that he is the one who's going to bring you love and joy and peace, if you begin to worship him, it will change your purpose because it will no longer be about you. It will no longer be about his plan for you. It will be about his plan and how you fit into that plan. When he becomes your God, it will change your purpose. And what I want to talk about today is that not only will it change your purpose, but it will change the image that you're pursuing. Because when God created you, he had a very specific image in mind. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says it this way. It says, "For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." When we ask this question here, what am I becoming? If you're going to live inside of God's purpose for you, if you're going to live inside of the purpose for which you've been created, then God says the image that you're pursuing, what you are becoming, is like Christ. The image that we are working towards is to be like Christ. Now, I understand when I say that for a lot of you, even as you hear that might not even be good news. It may actually be bad news for you, because when you hear that, and this is something that mentally, for myself, I've had to work through and struggle with, because when I hear that, okay, Chris, you're going to become like Christ, in my mind, I think you're going to follow all the rules. We talked about this a little bit in the Be Free series this last year. Because I talked about how this idea that you're going to become like Christ has been hijacked by wristbands like this one that say WWJD on them, right? How many of you wore one of those wristbands? Don't raise your hand. Don't. Sorry. I just realized halfway through that it was just going to be embarrassing. But it's been hijacked by this. And so this idea that I'm going to become like Christ is this idea that I'm going to follow all the rules. And so when I tell you, man, what God wants for you in this purpose, and you were created for becoming like Christ, for a lot of us, it doesn't excite us. It doesn't excite us because we've missed who Jesus Christ was. Because when you pick up this book and you read through the story of Jesus Christ's life in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, it's not about how he followed all the rules, does he? Yes, he lives a perfect, sinless life, but that's not what it's about. It's about how he loved. It's about how he was full of joy. I mean, one of the reasons we know that is that kids love to be around this guy. Kids don't like to be around people who are too serious. I mean, he was full of joy. He was invited to every party. This is an amazing person. And you look at his life, he never worried about anything. He had complete peace. When you walk through the desires of your heart, love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, patience, gentleness, all of these things described him. This is what God wants to do in you. And the purpose for which you were created is that you would become like Christ, that you would be full of love, that you would come to the point in your life where every decision that you make would be filled with love. That every relationship that you walked into would be better because you were part of it. That you'd be able to walk through any circumstance in any situation without having any fear or worry. This is what he wants for you. You were created to become like Christ. And it's interesting because I want to point out something here, because he doesn't say that God's plan for you is that you would be like Christ. He says that God's plan is that you would become like Christ. I say that because I understand that when I tell you that what we are becoming is to become like Christ, for a lot of you, you're going to walk out of here and say, man, look at me, and you're going to get depressed and you get frustrated because you're not there yet. Yeah, I understand you're not there yet. He's very clear about the fact that you're not there yet. He didn't create you to be there. He created you to get there. Why? Everything alive, God is creating to grow. And the same thing is true about you. You were created to grow, to become more and more and more like Christ. You say, well, how in the world do I do that? I'm going to give you two things that I think are crucial if you're going to begin to see this happen in your life. The first one is what I call examples. Whenever we're building an image, whenever we're building this image that we are pursuing, we find examples. We find people who we think have already been successful in that, and we begin to build an example. And so as I was having this conversation with my wife this week, and I was talking to her about what we were going to be talking about on Sunday, she said, well, what in the world does that look like? I need something to be able to grab a hold of. I need something that I can see. And she's right. I think the same thing is true for you. You need examples. You need to be able to piece together this image of what you're trying to pursue. And I think there's three ways that you see that. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 11:1. He says, "And you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ." And so in this verse, we see that for Paul, this idea of examples kind of played out in a couple of different ways. One, we see that we have the example of Christ. And so when you pick up this book and you dive through his story, you see how he worked and how he operated. The difference is sometimes that's difficult for us because we don't have the ability to walk on water. Right? And so you're like, well, that's a tough one for me to be able to really grab a hold of. But that's why as you read through this book, there are countless examples of people just like you who find themselves in situations just like the situations that you find yourself in. And you see how God is working in their life and how they worked in that situation. This book is given to you to be able to fill your life with examples, not just the example of Christ, but the example of other faithful men and women of God who are pursuing him and living in his mission and his purpose. And so we're able to take pieces of that, and we're able to see the way that David prayed and the way that he pursued God, and we're able to see the passion that Paul had to be able to communicate Christ to the world around him. We're able to take little bits from these different people and these different stories, and we're able to find examples that we can set up, that we know exactly what it would look like for us. And so we have the example of Christ, we have the examples that we find inside this book, and then beyond that, you have the examples of the people around you. And I talk a lot at Hoboken Grace about this idea of finding someone who's just a few steps ahead of you and following that person. Finding someone who's just a few steps ahead of you on this journey and saying, you know what, I want to be able to learn from this person, and bothering that person and bugging that person so that they will begin to share with you what they've begun to experience as they're becoming like Christ. So you say, well, how do I become like Christ? Man, I tell you what, you've got to be in this book because you have to fill your life with those examples. As you're moving in this community, you're looking for those who you see, man, you know what? They seem like they are plugged in. They seem like, and this doesn't have anything to do with knowledge. This isn't just about knowledge. This is, you're looking for people that you see are experiencing God on a consistent basis. And you see, man, the way that they're living their life seems to match up with the examples that I see inside this book. It seems to match up with this idea of Jesus Christ. And so I want to be around that person as much as I possibly can. I want to learn from that person as much as I possibly can. There are a couple people in my life that I don't have the opportunity to be around, but I'll tell you what, when I watched the way that they worked and I watched the way that they talked and I watched the way that they operated, I decided, man, if they write something, if they say something, I want to know about it. And so I had the opportunity in my life to be able to come in contact with a guy named Louis Giglio. And when I first met him, the story when I first met him is kind of funny because he's a big deal, right? And when it comes to college ministry in the United States, when I first met him, he was probably the biggest deal. He runs conferences that have literally thousands and thousands of people attend him. The Passion Conference that we talked about last week, he runs this thing. I mean, he's a really, really big deal. And so I met him once in the city, and I didn't know who he was, which always leads to awkward situations. So I'm talking to him, and I knew that he traveled with these singers. Some guy named Tomlin and David Crowder and, like, these singer guys. I don't know anything about these guys at this point. And for those of you who also don't know about them, these are, like, the highest selling artists and when it comes to worship music in the United States and actually around the world. And so I meet this guy and I'm like, so you're Louis. He's like, yeah. I'm like, so you do this music thing, huh? He's like, yeah. I was like, so you travel with these guys and talk? He's like, yeah. I was like, so that's your ministry? He's like, no. I lead a Bible study at my church. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I got to know him a little bit more and realized that there were like 3,000 people who come to his Bible study that he leads at his church. But the amazing thing is that as I sat there in that conversation with him, as I got to know him a little bit and we worked together for the next couple months, I saw somebody who had an incredible humility about him. An incredible ability to be able to walk into a conversation with somebody who had no idea who he was and what he was about. And the ability to be able to demonstrate Christ in situations that I had not seen other people be able to do. And so in my life, man, if Louis Giglio puts out a podcast, if he writes a book, it doesn't matter what he does. I want that. The same thing is true of Irwin McManus. The same thing is true of Andy Stanley. These guys, as I've watched them operate, I want to be able to follow their example. And in your life, you need to find people that you're going to be able to grab a hold of and say, man, I want to be able to live the way they're living. I want what I see that they have. And you need to do everything that you can to soak that up, to allow them to begin shaping, okay, what does it look like for me to become like Christ? How do I become like Christ? The first one is this idea of examples. The second one is that we have to embrace God's work in our life. In this passage, in 2 Corinthians verse 3:18, it says this. It says, so all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of God. And the Lord who is Spirit makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. So here's the thing you need to understand about this. When God is working in your life, this is His goal, that you would become like Jesus Christ. And for some of you, as you're living your life, you feel like you're wrestling against God because you are. Because you're trying to become this image that you have in your mind, and He's trying to help you become like Christ. And you're headed in two different directions. And the truth is, and this may blow your mind, God is actually working against you because He does not want you to become what you think is going to satisfy you. He wants you to become like His Son. Why? Because He loves you way too much to let you settle for that. And in your life, God is doing things, and you're like, man, this doesn't make sense. It's not going to make sense if you don't understand what He wants for you, if you don't understand the image that He is pursuing with you. This is why we often misunderstand this passage in Romans chapter 8 that I just read a few moments ago. In Romans chapter 8, at the beginning, verse 28, it says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. Have you ever heard this verse before? I think a lot of us have probably heard this verse before. Whenever something goes wrong in our life, people like to bring us this verse. And they share with us, they say, listen, I want you to know something. God causes everything to work together for the good of those who know Him and who are called according to His purpose. But the problem is, if you don't understand what God believes is good, then you're not going to understand what is happening and why it's happening. Because listen to what He says immediately after. It's the verse that we read earlier. It says, for God knew His people in advance, and He chose them to become like His Son. You see, in your life, no matter what happens to you, whether it's good or bad, the truth is God is going to use that for good. What is that good? That you would become like Christ. You see, if for you the image is that CEO, man, I'm going to become that CEO, and I'm going to be powerful, and I'm going to have money, and I'm going to have success. God's not working for that. Because God doesn't believe that that will satisfy you. And if that's your image and that's what you're pursuing, then I hate to share this with you, but everything that happens in your life is not going to be for good, because it's not going to be for that direction. Everything that happens in your life, God is using to help you become like Christ, so that you can live out this purpose for which you've been created, so that you can find Him. And in Him, you will find the desires of your heart. In Him, you will find love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness. How do I become like Christ? One, I find those examples. I reshape that image. Number two, I embrace what God is doing in my life. I stop fighting against it and I start moving with it. And this week, for those of you who are reading through the Purpose-Driven Life, you're going to walk through all sorts of different things that God is using in your life, some things that may shock you and surprise you, that God is using in your life to help you become like Jesus Christ. But before you get there, the question that I want to present to you today is this. Will you trade the image? You see, before you're going to be able to embrace what God is doing in your life, before you're going to be able to find this purpose for which you've been created, before you're going to be able to move from meaninglessness to meaningful, you have to trade the image. You have to give up what you've been trying to become and come to the point where you say, okay, if I never become that, that's okay. I'm becoming like Christ. And my goal and my mission and where I'm headed is to become like Him. And there are no ands. It's not that, okay, I'm going to become the CEO, but I'm going to go to church on Sunday. Because that's what we usually do, right? So I'm going to become wealthy and powerful, but I'm going to use that money to make a difference. And so we take our image and we realize that this God is incredible, and we take this image that we're pursuing, what we're trying to become, and we just kind of add some morals to it and some goodness to it, and we're like, then we're good to go. No. No. You got to give it up. You got to walk away from it. I'm becoming like Christ. That's it. And whatever that means and whatever that takes, that's what I want. Because I believe Him. That it's better. And I realize as we walk through this conversation, for some of you, you're going to be like, I can't believe God would ask me to give up that. I mean, what an incredible sacrifice. No, it's not. Stop looking at it that way. I keep having conversations with people and they're like, man, they're making bad decisions. And I'm like, you need to stop doing this. It's going to destroy your life. And they're like, I can't believe God would ask me to give that up. I mean, it's terrible is what it is. Yesterday we went pumpkin picking, right, with my sons, and it's always interesting. I have no idea what's going to happen when you get Caden in an open field, and so we went out here pumpkin picking, and it was quite phenomenal. I mean, this huge field was just covered in pumpkins, and so we go out there, and we're like, all right, Caden, we're going to pick a pumpkin. We're going to go back. We're going to carve it. It's going to be awesome. So you go out and pick a pumpkin. First thing he picks up. It's like this little tiny, like deformed, I don't even know what you'd call it. It probably was supposed to become a pumpkin, but it's probably about this long. It's like, looks more like a cucumber with a disease. Right? And he's like, here, this is my pumpkin. And I'm like, no, that's not, you don't want that. Put that down. You're probably going to get sick. Look at this pumpkin. And I showed him this beautiful realm, and he didn't want nothing to do with it. Here's the thing, guys. For a lot of us, when it comes to this image, God is saying, listen, you got to leave that behind. We're like, I can't believe you give it. And we're sitting there with a deformed pumpkin in our hand saying, God, I can't believe you'd ask me to give this up. Literally. That's what we're doing. He created you. Would you stop doubting that He loves you? He's not going to let you down. He hasn't before, and He's not going to in the future. This is better. Will you trade it? You give up that image that you've been pursuing and say, no, I'm going to live my life to become like Christ. Will you pray with me? Father, I'm sorry that we doubt you. I'm sorry that we sit there and we throw fits because you're calling us to give up something that's going to destroy us for something that's going to bring us everything that we've been looking for. Father, please keep pushing us to become like your son. Father, we want to give up these things that we've been holding on to. And with everything that we have, embrace this mission, this thing that you're doing in us, to become like your son. Thank you for loving us that much. Thank you for not giving up on us. Thank you for caring enough to wrestle these things out of our hands. In Jesus' name, amen.